And I said this last week, I'm going to say it again. Who reads the first paragraph or first quarter of a letter and sits it down and leaves it for the next day? We don't, do we? We read the whole letter all the way through when we get a letter, right? And sometimes we read it more than once because we either liked what it said or we really liked the person that it came from. Remember when you were dating and you'd get a letter? Anyone? I heard some oohs. I remember those. Some people were thinking, yeah, I haven't gotten one in years. I wish I'd get another one. Husbands, that might be time to send a new letter out to your wives, that is. Husbands, to your wives. Another letter to your wives. My wife's just saying, yeah, I'd like one too. But we enjoy getting a letter and receiving a letter, and we always read letters in one sitting. And so I want to encourage you guys, you get a chance this week. If you did it this past week, awesome. You got no check or mark or good job for that. You just got to enjoy that. But I would encourage you to do it again. And if you say, I just don't have time to sit and read all the way through it, you're in your car at times, put it on and listen to it. Sometimes that's just a great way to do it. Sit and listen. Try not to start thinking about other things because our brain can rabbit trail sometimes. But I want to encourage you to do that. We're gonna stand and read it. We're going to stand and read it. Not yet, though. I want to say this. We started 2 weeks ago. Pastor Chris kicked us off, and we looked at the first four verses, and he talked about it all coming back to Jesus. He says that the letter of 1 John is in the context of fellowship, and he said that John was written to make our joy complete. Last week, we looked at the end of chapter 1, and we got into the start of chapter 2, and we looked at the fact that God is holy, we are not, but we have Jesus, and it's Jesus that makes us holy. And I mentioned about, imagine a whiteboard up here, and our sins as we live our lives and as we sin, that would be a mark each time on that whiteboard. And I said it probably took me about 4 months for mine to fill up. I think I was 4 months old because I liked food. I still like food, all right? But when Jesus comes into our life and cleanses us, that whiteboard is wiped clean and there will never be another mark on that board again. When you're forgiven, we're forgiven. Doesn't mean we don't have to repent. Doesn't mean we still have to go at times before Jesus and say, I'm sorry. But we're forgiven. Today we're going to look at the rest of chapter 2. So if you would stand, we're going to read starting in verse 3 through verse 11. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that we have it right here in front of us, that we know that this is from you, that your spirit gave these words to John to write down, and that they went out to many churches. And Father, I pray that we will hold on to these words as sacred words from you. Like I know those first churches held on to this letter from John. I pray that these words will bore into our hearts. That they will mold our minds, that they will affect our hearts, and Father, that we will not just keep these words inside, but that these words will work and be active and alive, and that they will move out from us into this world that so desperately needs you. Father, allow us not to just be hearers of your word, but doers also. Not out of a have to do it, but a want to, a love for you to want to. Bless this time, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So there's a lot here. I mean, just short, how many verses is that? 8 verses? Just a short 8 verses, but there is a lot here, and we could take a lot of time, and we could sit down and probably come up with 15 points, okay? So that's what I've done this morning. So if you're worried about the time, no, I'm just kidding. We're just going to look at 3 things this morning. The first one is this. Number one, command. Live like Jesus. There we go. Pretty simple, right? Pretty simple. We're going to read these verses, verse 5 and 6. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Is that complicated? It's said simply, right? Is this where the phrase easier said than done comes into practice? Anyone say, yeah, that's okay. True for me, okay? I'll say, my hand's up and higher than any of yours, okay? All right? It's true for me. Easier said than done. I'm just say this. If I claim Jesus as my Savior, then I need to be living in such a way that my life looks like his, right? Right? Right. I really hope that isn't a surprise to anyone in this room, that this is what we're supposed to do when we've accepted Jesus our Savior. But I will say this, that I feel like the American church has done a poor job in communicating this to people that accept Jesus as Savior. And I say that because we get so desirous, we want so bad to see people to come to Jesus, to accept Jesus as their Savior, that I don't think we often follow it with, okay, but if you accept him, the Bible says that we should live like him. We just want to see people get saved, right? We just want to. That's how I feel sometimes. But do we actually stop and say, "Hey, if you accept Jesus, now you have to live like him"? I am very thankful that each of my children have said yes to Jesus and have prayed the prayer and asked Jesus to come into their life. I'm very thankful for that. But what will really show that for me is as they continue to grow and as they continue to get older, what they choose to do with their lives. That's really going to answer that question on whether or not they're going to choose to live like Jesus. That's our responsibility, isn't it? To help them. Not just my kids, our kids, anyone that comes to know Jesus as Savior, to help them understand that not only do you accept Jesus as Savior, but now you live like Jesus. One of my favorite verses, and I've said this, so you're going to hear it again and again. Ephesians 5:1, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. Whatever God does, that's what we should be doing. That's what living like Jesus is. I don't think we talk enough about this after salvation. We're gonna go side note real quick. Luke chapter 14, verses 25 and following. I'm just gonna read these. They're not gonna be up on the screen. If you want to turn in your Bible, you should always bring your own Bible. Just saying. In case you need to write something down in there that God's asking you to write down. Because if you put it on one of those little pieces of paper, you lose that paper, don't you? Unless you have a Bible to stick it in. Luke 14, verse 25. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father, mother, wife, and children, brothers and sisters, yet even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he would send a delegation, while others are still long away off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Do we stop and consider the cost? I think we get so excited about seeing someone come to Jesus, but do we offer even beforehand and say, hey, this is what it means if you want to follow Jesus? We skip to the end. You want to go to heaven, you want to stay out of hell, right? We kind of give that as that ultimatum, but do we say in between now and then that it's not just accepting Jesus, but it's choosing to live like him for all of your life? That's a lot more than just asking him to be your Savior and forgiveness for sin. It's a lot more than that. Do we live that way ourselves? Another example, Paul, speaking in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So then what do we do as people that are living like Jesus? Well, now we're showing others how to live like Jesus. So it's not just us being like him, it's now us choosing to show other people how to be like him. That's what Paul did. That's what Paul is saying. The first one says, imitate God. Imitate God. Now Paul's saying, imitate me as I imitate God. How well can we say that to others in our own lives? Are we following, living like Jesus that much that we can say to others, hey, imitate me as I imitate Christ? Sometimes I think, okay, that's good as long as they don't live in my own house. Right? Because I lose it sometimes. And I have to go back to my own kids sometimes and my wife and say, I'm sorry, I blew it. Right? Don't we? But we should still be striving to imitate Christ and then to have others that can look to us. Guys, that's what discipleship is. I mean, it's pretty simple. We kind of in our head, I think, in our heads, we think, well, I don't know how to share the gospel. Or in my heads, I don't know how to be a to disciple someone. It's really just telling the story of Jesus and then just showing who Jesus is in your life to someone else. That's it. It's not that complicated. I don't know all the answers. Yeah, there's this thing called Google right now, and if you put in a Bible, if you type the words Bible verse and then a start of a Bible verse, even if you can't, it'll give you a whole list of verses. It's pretty amazing. Now, I still, whatever shows up digitally, I still check it with the one right here down my hard copy. Because they can change that digital copy anytime they want, right? I still check it with my hard copy, and I have this, and I look to this, and that's why I love reading out of this, and that's why I say it's good for you to bring this. But you can go, just if you're going to disciple someone, it doesn't mean you have to have all the answers. There are going to be times where questions come up and you might say, well, let's just look at that together. Because that's also teaching them that they can do the same thing. They can start discipling someone without having all the answers. I'm going to share this real quick. We're starting off, school year is kicking off this week. Woohoo! I mean, sorry, kids. My bad. We have some discipling communities that are going right now, some that are starting back up this fall. I want to encourage you to go online. We have some listed there, but we have more coming in. We need some more discipling community leaders. And so maybe you need to say, I want to say to someone, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ by being a discipling community leader. And if God's laying that on your heart, then I want to encourage you to talk to Pastor Chris and see how maybe that can fit in. Live like Jesus. First one, command, live like Jesus. And we do that by imitating him. We do that by showing others how to imitate him. John continues, though, in the next few verses, continuing to say what it means to live like Jesus. And he does that, first of all, by saying this, command, love Jesus, love others. Is that hard? Yeah, I was good with love Jesus, but love others too? What? What? Look at a couple things here. He talks about the old command here. Talks about the old command. What's the old command? Deuteronomy 6:5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Sound familiar? We know that one? Usually we go to Matthew for that, but this is the old command, the law. Deuteronomy 6:5, Leviticus 19:18, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Love your neighbor as yourself. Again, usually we're used to the Matthew one. This is Jesus' command. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus is quoting from the Old Testament when he says this, the book of the law. These are old commands. These are Jesus' commands. This is how we're supposed to live. But then he says, I have a new command. What's the new command? I'll say this. The new command is the example of Jesus. And what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? He went to the cross and he died for us. He gave up his life. He says this in John 14, I will not say much more to you. For the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. That's what he says. He says, I love the Father. My new command, you love the Father. If we're following the example of Jesus, then we should be loving the Father. John 15, 13, and 14, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. That's what I'm saying. These points today are commands because it's what Jesus commands. It's what he tells us to do. Jesus was our example. His new command, live like me to the point of death. Who's ready to do that? To the point of death. Do you ever think about that? I think about that. God, have you just made it easy for me and placed me here in America where I may not ever have to experience that? There are people in this world right now that are dying for Jesus. That's true. It's true. We've heard that. It is true. Are we ready for that? How much are we wanting to walk like Jesus? How much are we wanting to be like him? The next verse in the Ephesians 5, verse 2, it says, be imitators of God, therefore as dearly loved children, and says, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. That's how much we imitate God. That's how much we love, to the point of us ourselves being a sacrifice like Jesus was. Now, what does that mean? That means it's not about what I want anymore. It's about what he wants. It's about what he wants. Now, that... I struggle with this. Well, what point, you know? Father, do I go to Ingles to shop or Walmart to shop? I don't know. And then why? Well, I don't know. You got to determine that for yourself if it's at that point, okay? There might be someone at Walmart that you need to run into. I mean talk to, get together with, and talk with. I don't mean like actually run over. There might be someone there, and they're not shopping at Ingles. I take it bigger. As someone who worked in youth ministry, for me, my goal in youth ministry when I did that was I wanted to see, I really didn't care what direction a youth took with their career or with their schooling. It really didn't matter to me. But what mattered was I wanted them to look me in the eye and say, I believe this is what God is asking me to do. Whether they were going to go into ministry, whether they were going to be a teacher, whether they wanted to go into business, whatever it was, I just wanted to hear those words from them. this is what God's asked me to do. And I would say the same thing about the school that they were going to go to. It doesn't matter to me which school you go to. I really would encourage you to go to a Christian school, at least for the first couple years, to get a stronger foundation. And I would say that to them. But if you're telling me this is where God wants you to go to school, then I'm going to trust that and believe that. Do we put that much? Do we encourage our people to do that enough? I'm going to say it that way. I'll be honest. I didn't want to be up here one day. I graduated from TFC 25 years ago. 5 years before that, as a junior in high school, I was going to be a high school math teacher, and I wanted to coach baseball and soccer. Because soccer was in the fall, baseball was in the spring, and those are the sports I loved. That's what I wanted to do with my life. That's what I wanted to do. And then one day, my senior year, towards the end of my senior year of high school, in church on a Sunday morning, the Holy Spirit moved, and he said, I have other plans for you. And so I said, okay. And he led me in the direction of becoming a youth pastor. And even in those times, I wasn't a youth pastor all the time. I did YMCA, I did Boys and Girls Club, I did all those things, but I just kept listening to God, what do you want me to do? I was a part-time youth pastor over in Hartwell, Georgia for a little while at a small Baptist church. I had to work full-time at Walmart as the pet department manager. Woo! Those kids would come up to that fish tank of 500 goldfish and be like, I want that one. And I'm like, kid, I'm just going to give you whichever one comes out, you know, because I'm not a fisherman and I'm not going to be able to get that one that you want. While I was there, though, I said, God, help me in this place here in Walmart as a pet department manager be a light for you. And I had five of my other department managers reading. Now, okay, this is because it was the book at the time, the Purpose Driven Life book. But they were reading it, and I'd say, don't take that home. It belongs to the store. I was a part-time youth pastor working at Walmart. I didn't have money to buy them books. I'd just go over to the book area and say, hey, read this book. Don't take it home. It belongs here in the store. But they were reading it. And I was saying, God, how do you want me to live like Jesus? And he said, this is how. Build relationship with these guys and share Jesus with them. All five of them knew who Jesus was. None of them were involved in church or fellowship or walking with Jesus. By the end, at least two of them I know had gotten back involved with churches. I didn't want to be a senior pastor. I thought I was going to be a youth guy my whole life. Until about 6 years ago, God started moving in my heart and saying, I have something more for you. I'll tell you, I could have just stayed as a youth guy. And probably had a lot of fun. But would I have been miserable? Yes. I believe that 100%. I believe that we're supposed to do what God asks us to do, and then we do it. 25 years ago when I graduated TFC, if you'd have said I'd been standing on this stage as the lead pastor here, I'd have looked at you like you were crazy. I still might. Are we doing what God's called us to do? Are we obeying him? Are we loving him, and are we loving others? God laid down his life. Are we willing to do everything he asks us to do for him and for others? So we need to be. Third one, don't be a hater. You like that one? I like that one. I never thought I'd have that as a sermon point, okay? Command, don't be a hater. Verse 9. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. That's pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? Now, I'll say this. We probably think of the word, we hear the word hate. I know parents who teach their kids that hate is a bad word. I've said the word hate before in a group, and I had a young kid. That's a bad word. We don't say hate. I'm sorry. Dictionary.com. Describes hate, defines hate, to dislike intensely or passionately, to feel extreme aversion or extreme hostility toward, to detest. That's a strong word. I mean, most of us in here would say, well, there's no one in this room that I hate. Right? Anyone? No, I'm not going to. There's no one in this room that I hate, so I'm good here, right? I'm good. What's that line, though? Where does love switch to hate on that line? Where does love go from, well, now I like this person. Well, now I'm okay with this person. Well, now I'm irritated with this person. Now I hate this person. And how do we travel that line in our lives? I'd say most people that we know casually, that we don't spend a lot of time with necessarily, I don't think we ever get to that point towards them where we have intense dislike or that we detest them. We tend to start feeling that way more with the people that we spend a lot of time with, right? That we really get to know, or maybe that they really get to know us. I really hate to say this, but I hate to say this. Da-dum-bump. Unfortunately, it seems like the people that we tend to hate are the people in our own families the most. When I talk with believers who are struggling with a relationship, a lot of times it ends up being a brother or a sister. Sometimes an aunt or an uncle. Sometimes a mom or a dad or a child, adult child. And I don't know where you're at right now in all of your relationships, but I hope you're not being a hater in any of them. I think most of us could greet each other here and say, I love you in the Lord at least, right? Do we take it to hate? Do you have a relationship with someone that if you were honest with yourself, probably goes all the way to hate? I'm gonna talk to teenagers too, and even pre-teenagers, if you're in here. You show love to your brother or your sister? Do you hate them? Jesus says, don't be a hater. Because if you're a hater, you're not in me. Because I'm full of love, and I've shown you that love by my new command of laying down my life for you. Are you going to do that for your brother or sister? There's another area that I need to touch on in this too. Do you hate yourself? How do you feel about yourself? There's a lot of people in this world that struggle with this person right here. Guys, if you hate yourself, I'm going to say this. You don't understand the true identity that you can have in Jesus. Hate's a strong word. If you're at a place in your life right now where you hate yourself, I want to tell you right now, Jesus loves you, and there are people here that love you. Living a life of hate for yourself is a miserable place to be. And the thing is we probably, the people around us, you probably don't even know that you're in that situation. Open up, tell someone. Talk about it, but then I want to encourage you with that person to seek after Jesus and understand what it means to be what your identity in Jesus is. Guys, we live in a lost and hurting world. How much time do we have? I'm running out of time. One of my favorite artists is a guy named NF. He goes by NF. His name is Nathan Fernstein. He's a rapper. He just dropped a new album on Friday. I listened to it like 4 times in a row. But he has a song on there called Hate Myself. And this guy, he knows Jesus. You go back to his early stuff, and he's never gotten away from, you know, what he has in his early stuff. And even in this one song, he talks about sitting there opening his arms up to God, but he hates himself. He spent all his time, and he spent the last few years just trying to get to the top, and he finally did. He had a song that hit number one. He's made millions of dollars. His shows sell out quickly, but his success has changed nothing. The only way anything's going to change is to reach out to God. And he's been through a lot in his life. But if you're here today and you say, you know, I'm fine with my brothers and sisters, I'm fine with other people in this room, I'm not fine with myself, there are people here that would love to talk to you. Because I think when it says don't hate, that we need to even consider that we should not be hating ourselves. God made you exactly as you are for a reason and a purpose. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He knew you then. He loved you then to create you exactly as you are. And if you hate yourself, please talk to someone. Don't leave today without talking to someone. Because Jesus can open your eyes to who he has made you to be. So I don't know where you're at today. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. And I'm going to say this. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you today? Do you need to spend more time with Jesus so that you can be more like him? You know, he says to be like me. Well, what does that mean? It means I have to spend time with him to get to know him so that I can understand who he is. If you need to do that, please make that commitment today. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, please do it today. I would love to talk to you. Our elders, anyone would love to talk to you and show you how to do that. Do you love Jesus enough to obey him? Now, some of you have spent your life at the corners of this world for Jesus. Are you still obeying him today and going to the corners of this community that he's asking you to go to? Do you love Jesus enough to obey him? Do you choose to love others? Do you walk away from hate? Do you need someone to pray for you today because you're not so excited about yourself? Jesus loves you. I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to close with a song. I want to ask you to stand with us this morning. If you need to do business with Jesus, please come up here. If there's someone in this room that you say, I have an issue with this person, go to them today and then come up here and pray. Don't leave today without taking advantage of that opportunity. We have a prayer room, and our elders are back there as well after the service. If you want to go back there and be prayed for, they'd love to pray for you there. Father, we love you. Help us to obey your commands. Help us to consider the cost of being your disciple. And then help us to run into your arms saying, I love you. I want to show you how much I love you by living a life for you. Father, I pray for anyone in here that hates. And I pray that you will change their hearts and help them love. Even if it's themselves. Thank you, Jesus.